Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Live. Okay, we just can't talk. How about that weather today, huh? It's good, sunny day.
Sunny what is day the weather here. Like that for you? What is the weather there for you?
What, in November?
Yeah,
I think you have pretty good guesses. Very good, Jeremy.
It's snowing here.
Wow, that's exciting. Yeah. That's better than just being cold.
Yeah, I enjoy the snow. Big fan of it.
Checking out the re-edit of Rocky IV tomorrow night.
Yes, I heard about this. And then we're doing our not live show.
Yeah, spoilers. Then. Spoilers? Hello, everyone.
You mentioned it yesterday.
I didn't see you guys there. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Distraction Fightful YouTube Distraction page. That's what it's called, right?
Yeah, Fightful Distraction. YouTube.com/FightfulDistraction.
Distraction, Fightful Distraction. Yeah. We're here again to talk about the World Wrestling Federation's latest mass release round. You know, very difficult at this point to come on and tell you guys that I'm shocked by anything. I am not. You guys know that.
I was shocked by the timing.
Yes. Okay, so here's the thing, Jeremy Lambert. I don't know how you want to approach this. I'm going to set my stall immediately here. Okay, I'm going to make it very clear what I intend to do. I do not intend to talk about the moral good and bad of World Wrestling Federation, because I think anyone with a clue had figured that out many years ago. And if they hadn't, then they would have certainly figured it out over the last 18 months. I understand that. I'm not here to get into the consumption of said content. People can watch what they want. I ain't going to tell them they're right or they're wrong. I personally would like to just kind of generally discuss the men and women involved in this release and what we think about, you know, moving forward, where they could go. I know that's kind of controversial in some places of the internet because they've, you know, I completely get it. But let's be completely honest here, Jeremy. Discussing what's next for them is better than us just kind of sitting here and like just wallowing in our own kind of, well, wrestling's bad, you know? They don't really achieve anything.
Right. 100%. I know a lot of people went live yesterday after it all happened and everything. Were you still doing the TEW show with?
Yes, we were. Yeah. We was like 2.5 hours deep. And then all these, it's like, come on, bro. Ridiculous timing. Ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh dude, I was at the girlfriend's house and doing laundry and I checked my phone and I'm like, release has happened. I gotta go back to the office and just, you know, took care of work. I didn't even really want to talk about it because what's there? Like, what's there to talk about in that sense of, all right, they did it again. Like, what are you going to do? So I'm much happier just talking about, hey, let's talk about like the future of these men and women. I think we will get into a little bit of kind of what WWE may have screwed up. Cause I do have at least thoughts on a couple of them of like, how did this happen? And of course we should have seen this coming with them. Mm-hmm.
That's fine, absolutely. And I think, you know, there's definitely something to be said for what this means for their product, the quality of their product, what it means and all that good stuff. there is a conversation to be had. I don't think today is the time to have it between you and I. I may bring it up on tonight's Late Night Grim where things are a little bit, you know, we can kind of go long form. I think there's a conversation to be had about how viable a third promotion actually is beyond our cutesy tweets about Jeff Jarrett. You and I will tackle that on a big episode of Distraction one day. But I think all that you just said is fine. I mean, we both have a couple of names that we know we're fans of and we can circle and talk about. It's just, it is really difficult, to be quite honest with you, to be kind of sincere and in my surprise or even disappointment, you know, because it's just like, well, I'm going to be honest with you guys. Like the one act that everyone is talking about, and rightly so, is Hit Row.
Yeah.
But like,
Do I think they should have been released? Absolutely not. Once they got called up to the main roster, and I put it in the title because I wanted to talk about this, they never stood a chance on the main roster because we know how that works. That act is not for a 70-year-old white man. It's just not. And they never stood a chance once they got to the main roster. And you could see it almost immediately. And if you didn't see it immediately, I don't know. But it never stood a chance on the main roster. It immediately lost everything that they had special in NXT. And then, of course, B-Fab was released 2 weeks into it. And maybe even like a week into it. And now they're released 2 weeks later. So I don't think they ever stood a chance on the main roster. Does this mean they should have been released? Absolutely not. But we know how that main roster works, right, Joseph? That group for that audience of one wasn't going to work.
It wasn't. I think Hit Row is a really interesting act to kind of put a bow on that run because they actually had a tiny little existence. When I did the deal where I did 24 features in a day, Swerve was one of them. And I want to say that was July. And it felt like they were just getting going with Hit Row in July, you know. And here we are, 4 months later. The wrestling timeline has accelerated dramatically. There was a few years there where it felt like everything was frozen still in WWE. The last 2 years have certainly not been that. Careers are coming and going in the blink of an eye. It's actually quite distressing how quickly that stuff's unfolding. Hit Row is an act that when I first saw them, I thought it was money main event. There were other times I saw them in a different presentation where I was less keen. Swerve is a special talent.
Yes.
And I don't say that to disparage the other guys and B-Fab. You know, I think Ashanti Adonis has a great look. Top Dollar certainly has something to offer, and B-Fab the same. But Swerve is the guy that you look at and actually say he could be a top heel in any promotion that, you know, has a clue and wants to do good professional wrestling. So that's a big one. But as you said, like, you know, it would be really almost insincere if I came on here and was like, I can't believe Vince McMahon didn't see the money in Hit Row, you know? Like, of course he didn't see it. And there's a lot of people that lie to themselves about how that company's evolved. And you don't have to go that, like, listen, they've done a better job in that regard for a while. But that doesn't mean that the guys in charge are any different, you know? Like, look at the track record of when you have Vince McMahon in a creative from a Bruce Pritchard and you have Johnny Ace as the head of talent. Like, this dude, no. It's an outdated, you know, front office. And it's wild how quickly things have changed. You know, when we started doing the Distraction, it felt like no one would ever leave that place. And now no one feels safe. And I don't need to tell anyone this because everyone knows that I concluded this a long time ago, but professional wrestling is built on emotional investment, and you are training the hardcore part of your fan base. They have nothing. They have no reason to invest. Now, do I think this will have any impact on their business? Not really.
No.
And that's the really sad part. And if I'm being honest with myself, do I think that, like, there's a world in which all of these releases help, like an Impact or an MLW or a NWA. And they certainly could make the product better, but like, if we're being really honest with ourselves, Jeremy, they won't improve those companies' business. And wrestling is getting in a really dangerous place in that regard right now, where there's only we no longer can just do this blanket, like, well, it'll be what's best for these guys, you know? They can go and prove themselves as stars elsewhere. I don't know, man. That feels kind of phony at this point. Like, AEW's got 130 wrestlers on board, I think, or something crazy like that. Like, There's not the plethora of real – there's opportunities, but not in, like, the real big-time sense that we would like, you know?
I mean, AEW is obviously the place to kind of showcase yourself. The other companies – ROH is pretty much – they're going on hiatus, if nothing else, right?
Like, yeah.
That would have been a platform for people, and they couldn't even stay afloat during all of this. Impact, I don't know what their platform is. There's good stuff in the independent scene. I actually wanted to go through and like see of all of the releases these past 2 years of who is still like out there doing well and everything, like still kind of wrestling. Cause a lot of these people just kind of like got out. It killed a lot of motivation for them. And I'm not even saying they're wrong for that. Cause that's what WWE does, right? Like they do it within their system of break you down to build you back up. And then sometimes they break you down and then release you. And then it's on your own to build yourself back up. And that's tough to do. That's very tough to do.
We have the chat here as kind of a tool to use. So I would like us to try our best here, because I don't know where this conversation would go, but now you bring it up, I'm interested. Let's try and think of some names that have been cut over the last 18 months that you kind of were unsure about their future that have found a real spot. So, for example, I'll give you – Ty Conti is a perfect example. If you'd have told me when Ty Conti released she wouldn't wrestle again, I'd have been like, sure, I don't know a lot about her background. She's obviously doing great. Who else fits that description? That someone that didn't have a – Steve Macklin's a good one. I like that one.
Macklin's definitely good.
Because the truth is you can't compare – it's like guys like Miro, it's like – come on. Like he was going to find out. Cardona's interesting. I kind of had faith in him in Myers, but I get it. He's definitely reinvented himself. Yeah. You get what I'm saying, right, Jeremy? Like,
right.
Miro, like he was like a fringe top guy in WWE. He was going to make money somewhere in professional wrestling. Yeah. It's different to some of these latest releases of guys that have barely found their foot in the industry. Deonna's a perfect
example. Yeah.
2.0 is good, yeah. I didn't think they were going to go to AEW. That was a real triumph for those guys. They've done well. Yeah, I'm trying to think of some of the names that fell through the cracks. I mean, there were a couple guys that Impact added at Slammiversary. They were cut the April before.
Yeah, they remember were cut April 2020. Yeah. 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 Like No Way and who else was it?
Matthew Ray Holt. Ray Wolf.
Yes. Yeah, Ray Wolf. Drama King. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's still there, right?
I think so. He does his podcast. Like, he seems to be doing well with his podcast.
He seems like a good guy. The point is that he was a free agent for legitimately over a year, you know? Right. And I also don't know what his deal is with Impact. Is he's on a contract or he's just coming in and out? I don't know. I look at the NWA and they're the one that really just, they get under my skin because there is, like, actually a fan base that wants... There is an actual fan base that wants to, like, care about NWA, and they just don't seem to be able to... They're like, yeah, we've got Darius Lockhart, and we've also just got this guy that no one wants to see. And it's like, good Lord, man. Please get out of your own way, Billy Corgan, you know?
They're bringing in now Austin Aries and these guys, and it's like... Yeah, they could have hit on some of them. I don't know. There were certainly enough people that AEW wasn't going to pick up that they could have had their shot at, right?
And I assume so. It just depends. The money is obviously the big...
Yeah.
That's the elephant in the room with, like, MLW too, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like, there's a lot of these guys that I'd like to see wrestle some of these MLW talents, but, like, are they going to actually be able to go there? Like, I don't know. So it's very difficult. What is your prediction? And again, folks, I understand... predictions, maybe it's too soon. It's better, at least we're gonna see what they do next. You know, I'm gonna cover that stuff. Jeremy knows, like, I cover those Impact specials when no one in the world wants me to. I mean, it's just the right thing to do.
Tomorrow night,
So on Monday, like, my intention is that'll be my part of the show because I'm not watching the Survivor thing. So what is your instinctual reaction when I say where will Swerve end up? Will it be with Hitro around him still in AEW? Will they do that elsewhere? What do you think?
I think the other guys would very much like if Swerve stuck with Hit Row. that it's really, it really comes down to Swerve, right? Because I don't think that act goes to AEW. I just don't. And I think if Swerve wants to go to AEW, he can go. So it really comes down to, do I want to continue to do this act, or do I want to go to AEW and kind of be a singles guy with the possibility, yeah, and maybe AEW wants it, but of the possibility that I'm not going to be with these guys.
Right. So it's difficult because there is a world in which, if done correctly, Hit Row does raise his ceiling somewhat.
Yeah.
There's another way where you just go, that overcomplicates things. Just let Swerve be a top heel, you know? It's difficult. I'm looking at the chat here. Yes, this is Austin Aries talk. More than half of the releases joined the company after the last video game came out. Good lord, man. Contract security. Hit Row's interesting. I think, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but it feels like we can be pretty confident that John Morrison and Ty Valkyrie are going to find a promotion to share, I would guess. Yeah. Maybe go back to Impact, but
Impact, I mean, do some dates with AAA again. Yeah.
John Morrison is, like, and everyone knows this that watches, like, I'm not like a huge fan of his, but he is such an awesome example of, like, how unfair that system is.
Yeah.
In, like, whatever they give him, he tried his absolute best and got it over. And every time they put him inside the ropes, he had a great match, and he got no reward for that. Not even like a, not even a tiny little, you know, token little push on TV. He got nothing.
He came back in January 2020. So he came back in the I guess it was technically before the Thunderdome stuff. So he comes back in January, and he's immediately back into his team with Miz after he had, like, he had a good run outside of WWE. Yeah. Like, the Lucha Underground stuff was good. I enjoyed his Impact stuff. Like, he had a good run. Just like, all right, we're going to put you back here with Miz. He does the stuff with Miz. Yeah, it's your WWE comedy, and it wasn't for me, but there was an audience who enjoyed that, and he did well with it. He got some of that shit over. That dipstick, whatever the fuck.
It was over, yeah. When I was at the live event, it was over.
Like, he got that stuff over. And when Miz turned on him, I legit saw this on my timeline, Joseph. I don't know if you paid attention to it. When Miz turned on, people were like, this is the big babyface push we're waiting for with, yes, John Morrison.
There were people legitimately, I'm not trying to be a dick here, but there were people that really were tweeting shit like, this is his time.
Yeah.
And it's like, I just, it amazes me that our general cynicism is dismissed by these people after all the evidence that's ahead of them now. You know, it amazes me.
He was supposed to have the match with Miz the following week, which would have been stupid, but Miz did Dancing with the Stars. So instead, they did what was even dumber, and they just had him lose to Cross, who, you know, let that play out.
Yeah, I mean, that was what I was referring to earlier. Like, for the longest time, it felt like guys just stayed in one position forever in WWE. Man, has that changed as of late. You look at guys like Keith Lee and Karrion Kross and Swerve and all the Hit Row and even Tegan, you know, like,
that's,
yeah, I mean, that, there's a lot, so we'll get into that in a moment, but the idea that, like, careers have really changed dramatically in the last 2 years in a way that, frankly, WWE's, like, kind of over-the-top talent hoarding had kind of prevented that from being the case. They've gone from one extreme to the other, right? Right. You know, when, Jeremy, you were probably doing news when this was the case. There was a couple of years there where if one guy left of their own accord, it was like, holy shit, they actually left WWE. They were just having everyone come through the doors. Now, and it, you know, I'm not going to sit here and name them, but there is legitimately like 6-7 talents that I feel like are truly safe to the point where I would actually read the notification and go, holy shit. That's one thing I do want to say. What? They don't even announce these releases anymore.
No, I saw
you. What the fuck?
Yeah, I saw your tweet about that last night, and They never really announce like the NXT releases. So when they haven't been announcing those, it's like, okay, sure. But these main roster ones, they used to, at least in April, and I feel like this was the last time they did this, was April. Bray was an exception because he was a singular release on a Saturday. But at least in April, they had like the big master list of everyone they released. And then since then, I'm not sure they've done like that list of, hey, we've released all these people. Maybe I'm wrong, but I mainly just get it from when Sean reports it.
Yeah. It's strange. I, and there's a real kind of gloomy, cynical way of looking at it, because they released, like, this news came out at like 9:30 on a Thursday before the go home to one of their bigger paid views of the year. And it's like, if you didn't know better, Jeremy, huh? If you didn't know better, you'd sure think they just wanted to let this news just slide under the radar. And, like, let's be honest, that's basically what it is. Same deal when they did it during SmackDown, you know. And the truth is, most of their audience doesn't care. And the more that you put it in this kind of timings, they definitely won't care. You know, by Saturday morning, they'll be talking about the latest time Roman Reigns said acknowledge me and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, SmackDown's tonight. People are going to talk about that. People are going to – they're doing a bunch of media for Survivor Series. So that all that's getting covered, obviously, Survivor Series. It's in New York, so, you know, they're hitting a lot of media on that, and, you know, people are going to be talking about Survivor Series. It's very – Reese says it, like, cowards, they won't admit it publicly. Like, it's cowardly when they do – like, when they do the actual releases. Yeah, yeah, they won't admit it publicly. So, like, if you don't follow online and whatnot and you're just a fan watching, you just – okay, where'd this wrestler go? And then by the end of it, you probably don't care because they hit you with some new person.
Right.
Like, oh, let me pop in this person.
The one thing I will say is, and listen, what I'm about to say, I'm not going to name these people because there's no need to, but there are some guys and girls on the roster that have been there forever. And you could reasonably argue, even though you shouldn't be firing anyone that has 4 or 5 years on their deal especially, but you could reasonably argue there are some people on the roster that have run their course. They've done what they need to do on their shows. They've been on them for too long. As of late, there is this trend where, like, they're firing people that haven't done anything on their TV.
Yeah.
Like, Keith Lee, Cross, and I know there's more stuff to Cross, but, like, I'm just going to name him because whatever. Hit Row is a perfect example. Tegan's a good example. There's a couple of others that slip my mind where it's like they were literally brought up to inject some level of, like, fresh to the program. They were cut before they could be on the program, you know? And that part of it's really, and again, it's hard to say without saying they should have fired these guys. That's not what I'm saying. It's relevant. But it is an interesting element to the strategy where it almost feels like because The Office is such old guard heavy now with Bruce and Johnny Ace, it feels like the new guys are just getting their legs cut out from under them before they even stand up. You know, it's a really puzzling time. And that brings us to Tegan Knox, who, look, I can imagine what people are saying on Twitter right now. Obviously had a lot of issues with injuries, and that happens, right? However, when you get her and you say, okay, we're going to put her on the main roster, to do what they did with her over the last few months is an absolute all-timer. You put her in a tag team for no apparent reason. Okay, if you're going to do it, commit to it. Well, they did commit to it. They had to beat the champs about 15 times to earn a title shot they never got. Then the team was broken up in the draft, which neither party was aware of, as far as I know, until they actually saw it on Twitter. The other half of the team turns heel because, even though she's an incredibly marketable babyface, that's another conversation for another day. And she's, you know, poor Tegan's over there, doesn't show up on Raw, was never seen in an end segment, as far as I know, where they're just watching the screens, which was like, you know, an alarm bell. And she's gone. And it's like, what has she possibly done that's upset them that much they don't want to do anything with her? Like, isn't she worth a TV match? Couldn't she have wrestled, you know, Becky or Bianca on TV in a 7-minute match? You could see what you have rather than just this constant, like, she just didn't seem to get a foot in the door. It's puzzling.
Hey, she came back from the latest injury to NXT to do the feud with Candace. That literally that same week, she got called up. So it completely killed the NXT injury or angle. And then, yeah, they put her in a tag team that made no sense from the start. They did everything you said. And then, yeah, she was released. They really didn't – they didn't give her a chance on that. And this is what they love to do of – they have the talent. At least they had. They keep releasing everybody. They had the talent of you can just do like a 7-minute Becky Tegan match, kind of see what you got, and then maybe transition to something else from there. Instead, they're just going to run the same Becky match you've seen 100 times because that's all they know how to do. And that Tegan, I felt horrible for because I literally just listened to an interview with Tegan. She was on Taylor Wilde's podcast this week. And she's talking about how, like, it's such a good situation. Her knee is healthy. You know, they found out she'd been wrestling with no ACL for a year and a half. and they, you know, she underwent surgery and she felt good. She said it was healthy and everything. She was talking about the performance center and, you know, praising it. One thing, and I haven't put this article out there and I might just have to scrap the whole thing, but she was praising like how well they do with like the mental health and everything of like, oh, they really take care of you. And if you have an issue, yeah, you can go and talk to them and everything. And it's just like,
well, that's the other part of this. Sorry, finish your point, but that same, yeah.
Like this cripples people's mental health. Yeah, because exactly, yeah. Now you have somebody like Tegan who, like you said, didn't seem to do anything wrong as far as we know, like from everything we know, didn't do anything wrong. She's seeing she got released. She's probably thinking, what did I do wrong? Right. And now she's questioning herself.
Leo Rush had a tweet about this on the last round of releases, which unfortunately was about 2 weeks ago rather than anything longer than that, where he talked about kind of the environment that it creates and how toxic it is and the anxiety it creates and all of that stuff, man. And that's really that's honestly like maybe the bit that on a human level is most disappointing is like, imagine actually being one of the guys on that COD right now. Just looking over your shoulder every turn. They did cuts 2 weeks ago. It's insane. The other thing too is with Tegan is like, she's one I worry for in the sense that like, we all agree she's good enough to be on TV for any company she wants to work for. But she's one of those people like, she didn't get any, her name recognition really wasn't helped by being on the main roster because she was never on TV. So like, we talk about AEW can't hire everyone. And it's like the names of free agents is piling up very quickly, you know? And if you left WWE after like having a quiet last year, because unfortunately she was out for a lot of it, and then when she came back, they did nothing with her. It's like, it's really hard for me to come on here and just do the kind of positive, like, well, it'll be okay. It's like, I don't know if it will be. I'm not going to sit and pretend it will be. There's not how many places that are paying very well. I hate it, bro. Like, look, if she went to, or if anyone went to some of these other promotions, yeah, they would do good work, but like, it wouldn't be this awesome thing for their career necessarily. Like, I'm not an expert. I haven't got that many people that I'm talking to in professional wrestling, but I'm pretty confident that like, a lot of these companies that are running TV are not paying these people like television stars, let me tell you. Their shows don't rate well enough to do that to begin with. So that's the other thing is like, if you even just look on, so for example, and we both agree, as people to watch their products, Tegan will be a good fit in AEW, right?
Yeah.
You look at their TBS bracket, and it's like, damn, they've actually got a lot of women that need to be on TV more than they already are. You just look at people like Kiera Hogan and Dion Monte that are not on TV, and it's like, well, Ember's a free agent. Mia Yim is a free agent. And it's like, and, you know, there's the, Meech mentioned that the idea of flooding the marketplace. It's really brutal and it's tough to talk about, but like I can't just sit here and do the bullshit where it's like it'll all be fine, guys. It's like a lot of these people don't want to work for these companies, man. They're not very good, you know. They don't pay well enough. They don't have good exposure. It's hard.
Yeah, we talked about this on the last set of releases, like you said, yes, which was literally 2 weeks ago. It was November 4th when they did it. Like we talked about it then. Of not everyone. You think that, hey, this person's gonna sign this place, this person's gonna sign this place, and everything. Like AEW can only sign. It's true. You make the joke of like they can sign everybody, but they can only sign so many people, and there's only so many people worth being like, yeah, I'm gonna sign this guy, and I'm actually gonna do something with him. Like I do think Tony wants to try to get people that he can and still let them work indies and everything, and like that's admirable. But most of these guys are just gonna try to latch on to wherever they can. In independent wrestling, if they get on Impact, if they can get MLW, but I don't know what the pay is at these places, and it certainly isn't like WWE money. And if nothing else with WWE, like you had some type of financial security there.
Yes, that was the big thing. Yeah. And that's obviously with that changing, it really becomes very, very difficult. It doesn't help the situation with getting into Japan is so tough.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at guys like Jonah and Bud, like it looks like they're going to try and do the New Japan deal. And how much easier would that be for them if they could actually get to Japan? You know, it's like, it's a nightmare. It's all so kind of, it's such a difficult thing.
That's the visa thing is another thing. That's another place where Tegan might have some trouble.
Yeah.
Because it, look how long it took the Iconics to get on television. Look how long it took Jonah to latch onto somewhere. Like, it takes a while with this visa thing, and that screws people over as well. Who is somebody, Katrina Cortez. She's got to sell all her stuff because her visa expired, and WWE is not going to help with that. Like, doing this to the international talent and then not helping with the visas is another level of just complete bullshit and inhumanity on their part.
Yeah, and again, it will mean ultimately nothing because, unfortunately, they have built a system that relies on maybe 2 to 3 individuals, and the rest is just filling time. And beforehand, for whatever reason, good for the talent because they got paid for a while there, they had built this system but refused to use it that way, right? But they had a system that didn't really need individual talent or star power, but they were signing every single great individual in the industry. At some point, they realized, man, and I think that first set of releases was a big one, like, they can basically do this and have no real ramifications. And they will have ramifications for you and I. Raw would be a better show for you and I if Deonna Purrazzo was the top heel in the women's division, or she was featured in the women's division, I should say.
Yeah.
You know, SmackDown would be a better show if Swerve was rolling and was climbing the card. So on and so forth. Keith Lee, Miro. You know, how much better would Raw be if Miro was up there? Sure. Would the viewership be any different? Probably not. No. So you end up in this really precarious position where it's like there is no security because there's very little chance that any of these releases are eventually going to truly come back to bite them beyond us two on a podcast saying, they missed on Swerve. Oh, look how good he is as the TNT champ right now. You know? Because ultimately that means nothing to them. And I wish I could kind of say otherwise and be like, they'll pay for this. They're letting go a lot of great people and a lot of talented people. But I don't believe that for a second. You know? They've basically secured themselves. Now, when the end of this TV deal comes, maybe something will change. Personally, I don't think they're going to have to negotiate it. I think they'll be sold by then. That's my belief, okay? But for now, man, they're making money regardless of what you and I think. And that's really kind of sad.
And here's the other thing is like, yeah, they're missing on all of these people.
Yeah.
Like I'm trying to figure out how to word this.
It's difficult.
Yeah, they're missing on all of these people, but they don't necessarily need these people with the talent that they already have if they had competent creative. In the first place. I hope that makes sense. It's not to say like you could use, look, if Miro, if they had him and they used him better, it'd be great. Their television would be better. They got guys who can do kind of Miro's role. They just don't use it. They don't do anything. They're just not creative competent.
And look, there's definitely something to what Mark mentioned in the chat about the ratings. I just don't, I kind of think that's the trend because the product's terrible.
It's like they're not losing ratings because they're releasing all of this talent. I really don't think that. I don't think people are actually being like, oh, you release more people, I'm gonna tune out. There's some people who I'm sure are like that because your investment gets hurt in this stuff.
Yeah,
like you can't invest in any of these people, right? Like there's no reason to invest in any of these people. You don't know what they don't have plans for any of them.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I don't think their ratings are getting hurt because of all of these releases. Their ratings are getting hurt because they don't know what they're doing creatively. And that was my overall point of, yeah, we can say they missed on Swerve. They missed on Keith Lee. They missed on all of these people. Even if they didn't have these people, their show still sucks.
Yeah, they could still very much with the people that are left standing create an infinitely better program.
Yeah.
And the truth is it isn't the bodies that are on board. It's more the way they use, like they've still got Ricochet for Christ's sake. I mean, he doesn't do anything on that show. Like there's loads of examples of it. I don't even need to name just Ricochet. Mustafa Ali, you know, there's nothing on their show. Like the show as a wrestling fan,
it was
objectively their show. If you go back to 2019 with the talent they had, they should have been producing the best content they've ever produced. Objectively, okay? And now, even if you went all hands on deck, it wouldn't be as good as it could have been in 2019. However, it still should be way better. And I've always been of the belief, and Jeremy, you know this, I think in the end they're going to go down to one roster. Now, probably be after they're bought out by one of these big conglomerates. and they'll have one crew rather than the brand split, and they'll run it as they need to, you know, it's basically as they need to churn that content out and keep making the money they're making. It's just difficult. Like, Mark's correct, absolutely, that the creative being bad, you know, that's why that's why you miss on guys like Miro. But at the same time, as you said, like, but there are other guys that are still there that you could have featured. They just don't. They don't do it because they don't care to. They don't have any interest in that. Like, it's really hard for me to believe this will actually have any ramifications, to be honest with you.
I doubt it will. They'll do another set of releases a week before Christmas next month, and
everyone will log on Twitter and say they're shocked and surprised.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll just, like, forget about it and move on. And then eventually one of the release wrestlers will say something mean about WWE in an interview, and we'll all decide they were actually bad. We'll move on, you know? It's all horseshit. And all this stuff about support the wrestlers, not the promotion. Waiting to see that in evidence from most of these accounts. Don't actually see that happen. Waiting for that to be the deal. It's all, you know, it's all complete smoke and mirrors. You and I know that. Like, and I'll say this, like, there needs to be more evidence that people are willing to watch these other promotions, because the idea of, like, another AEW arriving, that ain't happening, guys. I would love it. It would be great if there was another AEW just alongside it on a different network. It's not going to be the case, unfortunately. You know, if you do get a third promotion, it's going to be a lot more comparable to Impact and MLW and them than it is AEW. So, I don't know if you've seen the card for this weekend's Impact show, Jeremy. Have you seen that? Someone on Twitter pointed out that a lot of the card are guys that have been released in the pandemic by WWE. Okay? How much buzz have you seen for that card?
They just announced, like, the full card last night.
Impact?
Yeah.
Have you seen anyone talking about it, though? Is my kind of...
No, this is kind of sort of my point as well. Is, like, they're just now getting around to, like, announcing... Right, look.
Certainly, they have immense flaws, but, like, what I'm getting at is that show will be available for around $8 on Impact Plus.
Yeah.
If I go on Twitter when that show's on, I will not going to see many tweets about this show. And I'm not saying that is the audience's fault. They could do a much better job of being a hook, giving a hook and being interesting, certainly. However, there is a reality to, like, people only want to watch so much wrestling in a week, man.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people that are bored of WWE and they're content with AEW, and they may say they want a third promotion, but they ain't really going to watch it. They don't actually care. They just, you know, it's a lot of posturing, frankly. It's unfortunately the industry's in a situation where if WWE doesn't want these guys, it's going to be real tough, real tough, based on what I've seen.
I didn't know Impact. I didn't know Turning Point was actually this weekend. I cover this stuff. I did not know it was, like, actually this week.
Hey, guys. Have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, and Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
weekend. They haven't done a great job promoting it, and there hasn't been any buzz on my timeline for it. Like, there hasn't been anything. Dion says, yeah, support women's wrestling, then Empower, according to reports, did 3,500 buys.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, yeah. Well, end up, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they generally do. I'm not going to lie to you. I remember reading that one of their papers did like 800 buyers, so.
Yeah, true.
I don't know. I agree with the point, though. Like, it's a real thing. You said it, and I'm going to reiterate it. Like, that meme about AEW can't sign everyone, like, we have to be honest with ourselves. Like, they can't.
Yeah.
Like, if we're being really honest about it, they're about their limit. The last pay-per-view card, they had to, like, pair Andrade and Malakai versus Cody and Pac to get those guys on the pay-per-view. You know, you've got women that have not been seen on TV in the longest. Like, it's a thing. I think they could probably add a couple more, but, like, they're not be Russians just at everyone. And the rest is the rest. Ring of Honor, you know. Ring of Honor is the way that show has been promoted by some of the talent, Jeremy. They seem to have a very similar outlook to you and I, which is and is nigh, you know. I don't know if you saw the thing they put out with the Briscoes, but they were like promoting the show by, in a lot of ways, just kind of saying this is, you know, this is the last, the final battle, the literal final battle. And I really hope that's not the case, because with all these new releases, Ring of Honor being around in any form is good for the industry, right? You just need places. You need stuff where the product can, where guys can find their footing in a different setting. It's kind of a concerning time right now, I have to be honest.
Any place where they can get a steady paycheck, even if it means taking independent dates on top of that, and I hate to say this, even if it means like you still got to get like some type of second job, but as long as you can get a steady paycheck from one company and you get some visibility out of the company, what's Ring of Honor's visibility at this point? It's not great, but at least, you know, you get on some type of television, you learn how to work in a television aspect a little bit. You work in front of a decent audience sometimes, and then it potentially leads to more opportunity elsewhere. Like, the fact that even if Ring of Honor isn't what it used to be, and, you know, it is what it is now, the fact that there's just one less of those places still isn't good for the industry, even if Ring of Honor is where it turned out to be.
Well, Ring of Honor is a great example where we both agree they did a poor job of promoting that they were free online, right? We both agree that. They did a poor job of telling people, you can actually watch our TV every week for free on our website or on Fight TV. Unquestionably poor job. There is also truth, though, to the reality that people did know and just didn't want to watch and didn't care. And that is on Ring of Honor for not being interesting enough, certainly. It is also an indication, though, that people have enough wrestling. And, you know, unfortunately, we have to be realistic about who the fan is, who this elusive fan is. Like, if they're around, then I'm assuming AEW's got them. Because believe it or not, contrary to the kind of loud minority that screams about how AEW's too silly and stuff, like, the audience that wants just, like, the edgy AEW part to be the whole show is, like, a huge niche. Like, that person probably is already watching these promotions. They're just not many of them. They don't, you know, they're loud on Twitter. Doesn't mean there's a lot of them in reality. It's a lot, man. Like, I've had the experience. Like, my brother's, you know, he never watched any non-WWE, and he's an AEW fan now, and he has to watch, like, he watches the TV. That's 3 hours, you know? And then if he was going to watch anything else, he'd probably try to watch the YouTube shows. Well, that's another 2 shows. He certainly ain't rushing to watch MLW Fusion, you know? It's a lot. There's a lot of wrestlers, and it's like, we all kind of have to, we have to kind of accept that, like, the audience that really wants there to be like a different promotion on every day is us nerds. And that isn't enough to actually fuel a promotion in terms of popularity and exposure, let me tell you. Like, it's not. And again, Ring of Honor should promote it better. That should have been more interesting. But, like, let's be honest. A lot of people just didn't actually want, like, they didn't care. You know, same thing with Impact. Like, Access TV, is it a terrible network to be on? Yes. Could you sign up for like $1 and watch the whole show on YouTube every week? Yes. Do people do it? No. Like, it is what it is. It's not a great sign, but it's the truth.
It is. Now let's talk about where all these people are going to go, Joseph.
Okay. All right. So Shane Thorne is interesting. I'm wondering if he's going to reunite with his old partner.
I feel like he's New Japan strong bound.
Is Mikey Nichols still on New Japan?
I'll double check. I don't know if he's been on there for a while.
He got booked initially, didn't he?
Yeah.
I could actually see, I could see Machine Gun wanting to do like a little tag program with them too, because I know they're friends. That'd be interesting for Impact. They're, you know, the Impact tag ranks have always been so just bare. They could help in that regard. If he wants to be a singles, go ahead.
So Mikey Nichols, he hadn't done New Japan since World Tag League 2019. He really hasn't been active. He's only wrestled one, two, three, four matches.
Australia, I don't know if he's still Australia, in Australia.
He is.
But, so, look, if they want to be a team, there's options. He's a really interesting one, Shane Thorne, Shane Haste of singles, because he's a guy that always stood out as a tag. Always stood out as a tag. And people would always go, oh, he could be at singles. And obviously, he got no chance to show that in WWE. Not even like a glimpse of him. Again, not even a guy that got a match with a top guy to see what he could do. He could be one, quite frankly, that could shock people, I think. I'm not saying that will happen, because I actually think he will just go back to being, you know, the TMDK guys, you know, as a tag. But, like, I could see a world in which he comes in to a promotion and people go, holy shit, where has this guy been? Well, the answer is he's been sitting in catering watching TV every week at WWE. You know? I think there's a real chance of that. I hope so, anyway. What do you think, Jeremy? Any instincts on Shane?
I think he's New Japan strong bound if that's where he wants to end up. And if Mikey Nichols, if they can get him to America from Australia. It just feels like he's ended up back with TM61 or the Mighty Don't Kneel. Whichever way you want to.
A good team.
Look, when they came into NXT, they were great. Loved them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, things happen. Think he'll reprise his role as Slapjack anywhere?
Maybe in like a Talking Shop of Mania.
Oh, he'll definitely do that shit. Definitely.
Drake Maverick, he posted an awesome video last night.
Dude.
Yeah.
So, yeah, first off, the video was awesome. The fact that, like, he had that in the chamber, like, he knew. And that's shitty. Like, he knew that my time's going to come again at some point. I'm going to have this ready to go when it happens.
Yeah. Well, he's a guy that I couldn't have been less surprised to see him produce that night, because he's just one of those. He figures out ways of being creative and, you know, ways of getting out there. And he nailed it with that. There's a place for him. I don't know, like, immediately what it is. My instincts is, like, he'll just go and be a character on Impact's TV. And the only reason I say that is because they do a lot of the, like, character, you know, like the vignettes and pre-tapes they do, and he's awesome at those, and he obviously had a run there before that went really well. He's really versatile in that he can be kind of a heel comedy character, or he can be a babyface underdog. Like, when he was in TNA the first time, he did some awesome stuff as a real babyface. Like working EC3 and doing all that stuff, man. He was great. AEW is a tough fit, I find, when I try to picture that one. I've got to be honest with you. I'm not saying he couldn't do it. I just don't see how they would like present or frame him on TV.
My gut on Drake is he does an EC3 thing. I'm sure they're going to do a Control Your Narrative, Free the Narrative 3. I feel like he'll be part of that in some aspect. I could see a spot for him in AEW as like a manager. They love their factions.
Yeah.
AEW, I don't know if you know this, but they love factions. And I could see him coming in as like a manager who also works like when he needs to.
So a presentation, I mean, not exactly because he was a goof in this too, but more akin to what he should have been when he was managing like AOP, where he's like, he has like a big, you know, an act that he can kind of be the mouthpiece for. That works. Right. Yeah, I can see that. I mean, he can do a plethora of things on some of these TVs, because he could be like an authority figure. Yeah, he could be a manager. He can do all that stuff.
He's a guy who you give him anything, any role, he's going to kill it. Like, that's just absolutely a talented, talented guy.
Yep, absolutely. He's another one that just, you know, There's a lot to talk about with him in the sense that that poor dude, like, they made it an angle that he reclaimed his job and then fired him a year later. Like,
fired his tag team partner first, and then fired him.
Yeah, the HFO thing's interesting. I gotta be honest, guys, and like, if that's how Spud gets his gig, then like, all hell. Nothing but love, I'll accept it, but I think HFO probably is nearing its end in terms of being like a bigger on TV. So I don't know if that's the play. I think it's probably high time that like Private Party moves away and they become more of a, well, that's another conversation for another day. I mean, we've talked about all the other people here that we should probably talk about. Top Dollar's interesting. I honestly have some respect for like his confidence in himself.
Yeah.
But like, someone in his circle probably should have been like, man, you don't need to tweet that. Because here's the thing with that, okay? The tweet I'm talking about, to be clear, is the now infamous Weekend promo.
Yeah.
And the real core belief behind that tweet is not really very sinister at all. It's literally as innocent as he kind of believed in his heart that they were good enough, that the system would be fair enough that they would climb the ranks. Because we can do it all. That was his attitude. We can do it all. There's no way we're going to fail in the system. But he just, unfortunately, he didn't realize that there is no like cream will rise in that promotion. No. It's been gone for the longest time.
As much as they want to always say cream rises, grab brass ring and all that.
Yeah, shit, it's horse shit. It's been that way for the longest. So now I don't know the guy. He's like, look, we can't pretend otherwise. He can't really like, you know, he didn't help himself with some of the shit he did on Twitter. And that's whatever. I've probably been the same, so I can relate. You know, I get it. But, like, if he wants to wrestle, I mean, he's a big athletic guy. I'm sure they can find something for him to do somewhere, you know. Maybe him and Adonis be a team somewhere. I don't know. Like, Adonis is one of three. I've only seen him work a couple times. His look is like, my God. I remember seeing that dude on 205 Live before any of this hit Rose. I'd be like, holy shit, he looks like a movie star, you know. So there's a place for both of those guys and B-Fab too, who looks like a star. I just haven't seen enough to tell you with confidence where it is. That makes sense.
It comes down, a good part of it will come down to what Top Dollar actually wants to do, because maybe I'm wrong, but I listened to a few of his interviews and he definitely seemed like a WWE dream guy.
Yeah.
And to where like once that ended, he's just unsure of what he was really going to do elsewhere. And obviously his tweets and stuff probably didn't endear him to a lot of places, but I'm with you. Like he thought the system was different and that they could rise to the top because they could promo. And that's just not the case how it works. The problem with that is by doing the stuff with the Bucks and everything, like they upset people with that, or he upset some people by doing that stuff. And that's gonna, you know, that could burn him. I do wonder if he tries to go. People have mentioned hosting gigs. Maybe he's got a podcast. Maybe he continues to do those hosting gigs. Maybe he tries to throw more into his rap career. I just don't know if Top Dollar is a guy that's just going to want to be making the towns every single week.
I will say quickly, because I talked about this a little bit on Patreon last night, that a lot of this Twitter stuff is ultimately harmless. I will say that with all due respect, his handling of the Jinder Mahal diss track was like an absolute tutorial on how not to use Twitter. Yeah. I mean, listen, I understand. I couldn't put up with that shit on mentions either. But that was an L that he should have just taken. And he was fucking, he was so online, man. He's sitting there trading insults for people in there. It was just, not even trading insults, just like hiding replies, you know, and pretending it wasn't a thing. It was a mess. So if people are overselling his bad Twitter stuff, I would hope it's more rooted in that one where there was some actual offense taken than like him being mean to the Young Bucks. Because you and I are like, let's be real, if you're actually offended on the Young Bucks' behalf, like, come on, grow up. Like, it's cool. But that one was like, please stop. It was because I'm a fan of that act, and I was like, oh God, this is going to go poorly. I don't believe for a second that's why they got cut, though. Absolutely not. That's bullshit.
No.
They're just looking for excuses, man.
Yeah.
Just looking for excuses. They probably didn't have anything for a hit, right? Maybe that was their reason they could, you know, just move on. I think it's about everyone in terms of where they're going to go, though, right? Like, do you have anything extra on Adonis and B-Fab?
Adonis is probably – I feel like he will be a guy that might make the towns and stuff. Yeah. I could see him going to, like, MLW.
Right.
B-Fab, I'm not sure. I almost want to put her in the same
– Yes.
As Top Dollar of, like, I just – I'm not sure if that's what she wants to do, because she has like some star quality to her, and I just don't know if it's in wrestling though.
Yeah, there's a lot of overlap there in terms of you just don't know what they want, right? It's difficult. Yeah. It's this, you know. I'm assuming they have a lot of options in terms of career. So, yeah, you know, look, Hit Row will go down as honestly one of the more interesting WWE experiments in that. They had about a five-month existence, seemingly got over huge in an era of NXT that didn't go over anything, was called up immediately when some of the pieces probably wasn't ready, and then was released within a month. I mean, help me if I'm wrong here, Jeremy, but I don't think there's many comparisons to that, to be honest with you. That's like kind of a unique case. That's different to a guy like Swerve's, you know, he's been around for some time. But it's still different to guys like Keith Lee and Cross, where it's like everyone knew what they were. Vince didn't get them and moved on. This was an act that they like built in-house, everyone liked, and they just immediately got rid of. It's insane.
Yeah. The Hit Row stuff, I mean, I said it earlier, but for newer viewers, I thought it was very good on NXT. It was definitely something different on NXT at a time where that show could feel a little lifeless. And by all accounts, they were allowed to be themselves in NXT. They got to WWE and Vince was going to do what Vince does with that kind of act. And I never thought it was going to work on the main roster because of that. And it didn't. Again, right. it's not because of their talent. It's just because of everything we've known about Vince McMahon and the company. Certain people can break away. Somebody mentioned New Day earlier. New Day was failing at first as well. It became like a meme comedy act. Like, that's completely different than an actual hip hop group of, you know, Vince. Right. Vince ain't gonna notice that. Like, he's not connected with that. He's got guys out there popping themselves, doing some comedy and stuff, and making fun of children and whatnot. Like, that's fine. But
yeah, hip hop, yeah.
Vince, yeah,
anyway. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, it's worth saying this. I think we're about done here, but it's what I probably should say this, because I dunked on old Triple Paul a lot on our program. And even there was one hilarious closing statement where I just, you know, put the boots to them and all that stuff. Like, I don't, you know, Triple H is what he is, right? Interesting guy, interesting piece of wrestling history. Hope he's well in terms of health. Obviously, that goes without saying. I will say that, for all my criticism of that NXT product, I hope everyone is aware that, like, I absolutely understand that he had a better grasp of where wrestling was going than the people that are in charge now, you know? Like, I had a lot of fun dunking on that dude when he was getting beat in the demo and all this shit. It's funny to me. Sorry, it is. However, it is very, very clear when you look at the NXT that he was creating and crafting, like, he definitely had a better grasp on the industry's trends than Bruce Pritchard and these dudes. Yeah. Like, and I'm not saying it was perfect, but like, I was at in TakeOver New Orleans, you know, like, I remember those takeovers fondly. And there was a vibe to them that the only comparison I can make is the shit that we're seeing right now over AEW. And it's on a different level, obviously. But there's truth to that comparison. There really is.
No, there NXT was that alternative AEW until AEW came along and just did it bigger and better.
They were the real alternative almost, right? It's weird. Right. Like, when they came along, it almost became, and as Meech mentioned, the stuff with the women's division is big too. That's saying that's a big part of his legacy, rightly so.
Yeah.
But like, Shoot always says to me, NXT was the alternative until we got a real one.
Yeah.
And that, there's 100%. A lot to that, but that's not Triple H's fault, but it is true, right? Yeah.
Yeah, we've had our fun with Triple H. I feel like we've also been fair in defending him of the things he did do for NXT and the things that he couldn't control when he handed Vince, hey, here's Finn Balor, here's Shinsuke Nakamura, here's Samoa Joe, and nothing came of it.
Like, exactly. You can only do so much. You can lead a horse to water and all that good stuff. You know, it's difficult. I don't know, man. It's I'll say this. People can watch whatever they want. I do get like a, when I see this stuff, it makes me happy that I'm not one of the people that these idiots can just say, well, you're going to watch anyway too, because Jeremy can confirm I will not watch anyway, nor will he, for that matter, unless he's getting paid to. So watch what you want. The one thing I'll say is if like any wrestling you're watching regularly makes you angry and upset, probably time to reassess whether that needs to be some of the wrestling you're watching. I mean that because I've been there. No need, trust me. Well, you know, I'm not here to talk about the right and wrong in terms of consuming content. We all do, you know, whole shit. We all do stuff that's linked to some sort of filth and corruption. I would just say try. This is my tip for the day. Ready for this, Jeremy? Try your best not to go into wrestlers' mentions 5 minutes after they lost their job and inform them that this is just business. Capitalism is here. Get the fuck out of here.
People do that.
Oh, check Taya Valkyrie's quote tweets.
Oh, she I believe it. Yeah, when she was...
Yeah, she was firing, brother.
Well, I hate tweet articles. I was like, oh, yeah, that's an easy one. But
she was getting obliterated by people telling her that this is capitalism. Like she's supposed to be level-headed about her and her husband losing their jobs.
When she lost her job, I thought it was bullshit. One, because she'd just gotten there and... she never really got a big opportunity in NXT. And if they're not, they apparently weren't going to use her on the main roster. And even if they were, look what happens there. Morrison was over in the UK during that, like just shit timing. And then, 2 weeks later, they're going to fire her husband. She had every right to be pissed off. And look, I think she is right. That company doesn't care about the talent. They released her while her husband's still employed and he's over in the UK. They released these international talents, don't help them out with visas and everything. See, like
this is where, and this is what we were talking about earlier. I wish the industry had more big money, major league options, so that someone like Taya Valkyrie, who's done what she's done, could like just say fuck them all along, you know?
Yeah.
Because to me, her having to go and be like NXT to begin with was whole shit. You know, she's been on TV for years. If you want to sign her, put her on Raw or SmackDown. If not, don't. However, unfortunately, she can't really have that attitude when she's looking for places to go because there aren't many places you can really go and make the kind of money she was hoping to make, you know? Because I saw a lot of people tweeting her, well, you still sign her. And it's like, how many options do you think these people have, man? You know, like, this ain't the NBA, folks. There ain't 30 teams lining up to sign you to a deal. Like, there's not. If she was in Impact, she knew what that money was, and she wanted to take the big swing at the big place, and she got no real opportunity to make that stick. Tall shit. All of it was. She should have been treated with way more respect than that. But that's an industry-wide problem because there's no leverage. But, you know, we've got into that before. We know that deal.
Yeah. Let me read some chats real quick. Okay. Joseph, you mentioned leading a horse to water. There's a famous Eddie Kingston line where he said, you can lead a horse to the water. The horse doesn't drink the water. It's not a good horse. You got to drown the horse.
My God. That recent Eddie Kingston quote?
Yeah, what interview? It was from some interview that I listened to.
What was he talking about?
Helping the young talent. He's like, I basically like can help them as much as I can. If they don't want to listen to me, fuck them.
Yeah. It seems like most of them listen to him, to be honest. Yeah, it seems, you know. It wasn't always the case from what I can gather, but it seems like that way now.
Genetic Ghost says watch Swerve and a team versus the Elite. It was amazing UK show back in 2017 where Kenny and the Bucks put them all over hard at the end of the show. I hope he can see that again, trying to find silver lining. Kate says a long time listener, first time bobber chatter. I'm not calling it that. Is ROH bigger name than GCW? No. To me, they feel equal but very different. Love you guys. Sorry you got promoted and had to write about more releases, Jeremy. Such as the
joke. Yeah. And it was a question about ROH and GCW.
Yeah.
Well, ROH certainly has like a bigger Like, his name value in general is certainly bigger, but, like, his buzz is so far distant, unfortunately, that it, you know, it doesn't really matter. It's a shame. I'm really intrigued. This might sound morbid, but I'm going to be honest. I'm kind of intrigued to see the quote, the buy rate that the final battle gets. Because anyone that's ever watched Ring of Honor is probably going to try to watch Final Battle just because of, like, what it represents in theory. That will give a good a good insight into, like, what the reach actually is of the promotion. Sad as that sounds.
And Kate also says, cynical take, but is it possible to call up plus release them just to get 90-day non-compete instead of 30 days? 100%. But see, that
this is
the thing with that is, like, that doesn't help WWE, I don't think, because then they're paying them for the 90 instead of the 30.
It does, though, because the, like, level of buzz is so affected.
Sure.
So here's how I explained it the other day. Okay, this is going to scare you, Jeremy.
Oh, no.
How long ago does it feel? Now, I know you know it was only 2 weeks, but, like, it feels like a long time ago poor Keith Lee got released, right?
Yeah.
If he was to debut in AEW on the first day of his no-compete ending, it'll be February. Brother.
Yeah.
By February, you and I would have talked about 101 other things, and it's like, it's cool and all, you pop for it, but it's so hard for wrestlers to maintain that buzz. I honestly don't disagree with you, though, just because 30 days at this point is also the way the news round is now. But I don't think Kate's wrong to say that, like, it may seem cynical, but I think there's probably something to it, if I'm being honest with you.
I think there might be a little something to it. I also just think that they're
fucking idiots. Yeah.
I'm not trying to give WWE the benefit of the doubt here. I truly don't think they're like, oh, we're going to release these people at some point in the next, you know, in the next 2 weeks. Let's call them up first so they have to do 90 instead of 30, and then we're going to release them. I truly it's like, hey, let's call them up and then let's see what we can do with them. And then after 2 weeks, they just give up and it's like, oh, well, fuck it. Let's just release them.
It's probably fair. They're so incompetent, you know. It's difficult to really. And people are like, how can they be incompetent? You see how much money they make? It's like, yes, as a wrestling operation, you know. I mean, as a wrestling operation, I think they're objectively competent at this point. Like, yes, they've blown it with elite talent.
Yeah.
As a business, they do a good job of getting those, you know, rights deals and doing all this other whole shit with promote like this. But as a wrestling promotion, they suck. Yeah. Kate brings it out of the chat. The draft thing is outrageous. The draft was 6 weeks ago.
It's another thing of just, like, incompetence. Like, they think they want to do one thing, and then a day later, they decide they're going to do something else. This is what they do.
Yeah.
This is literally what they do.
Yeah, so it's hilarious, if we're being honest.
Like,
it's so bad.
I tweeted it last night because I had nothing better to tweet. But it's like, we know who this company is. They've told us they tell us every single week who they are on screen and off screen. It's just, like, it doesn't surprise me anymore. None of it surprises
me. Me either. But
the talent as well.
It is like objectively funny, sad, all of the above. That there is like a debate as to whether or not this is even like bad, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, imagine any other promotion struggling this much with such great talent. And imagine it meaning like it ultimately their fan base being so unmoved by it all. It's incredible, man. This is like historic levels of wastefulness and incompetence, and, you know, all of the above. It's historic levels. It's they're running through top talent at like an unprecedented pace. But again, I'm sure everyone will be, you know, fired up about how good the Survivor Series was, and we'll wait until the next round of releases to do the whole thing again. It's like, it's a never ending cycle. It's terrible. And I'm not, again, this isn't me telling anyone they should do something like protest. Like, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's kind of a bummer, like, how just interchangeable they've made all these people. To me, that's just not what wrestling is or should be. It's sad.
When this stuff happens, I legitimately question why I continue to, like, cover and watch this stuff. every single time.
Like the whole industry?
Mainly WWE. Like mainly WWE.
So,
because I'd still watch AEW. I like AEW. But WWE, I really question why it's covered.
How I know do you why, feel about... Well, yeah, this is the thing, right? Is it's the biggest stories a lot of the time. And we're not, I think actually at this point, AEW stories for our audience are bigger, but like it's a big story. There is a big part of me that believes that as wrestling sites, we should just follow their lead. And they obviously don't really care about our coverage, so we should just be like, oh, fuck it. But then I'll see at the same time, Sean will get an interview of Drew McIntyre, and it's like... I guess. I don't know. I don't really... I actually think there's a lot of truth to us covering professional wrestling rather than what they claim to be, which is, you know.
I mean, we for the most part,
we do. Yeah,
we've moved our show to the stuff we enjoy. We talked about Charlotte and Becky yesterday because I thought that was an interesting conversation to have. Because it's one of the few things in the past, however many years they've done, that's sort of interesting. But like, I'd be completely fine if, again, we've kind of moved this way. We just never talked about this company outside of. Oh, the talent is doing something interesting. The company's not doing shit that's interesting, but the talent is doing something interesting.
I absolutely agree. But like, in the grand scheme of things, we are a massive outlier for even doing that.
Yeah.
Because it still is what stirs most of the drinks in wrestling media, you know?
Yeah.
100%. And I'm not saying that's wrong, because people have to cover it. Like, no one's coming to us for news, so it's different. We've got a luxury in that sense. However, there is definitely something to be said for, like, I don't think it's hard because I don't want to speak for people, but like, we definitely don't have to like waste as much breath as we do on this. And the only reason, to be clear, we're doing the stream now because for many reasons, and some are cynical. The main reason is we've had distractions going to be lined up next week. I didn't know when we were going to be able to talk about this, and it was worth having the conversation as a one off. But like, generally, imagine we just didn't have to do this thing where we kind of get angry every week about what whole shit they did on Raw. And instead we tried to talk about what other promotions are trying. Because, again, Impact and Ring of Honor, all these companies, they don't help themselves, but we could probably do a better job too, you know? You and I, we got too late on the Ring of Honor one, brother.
We did.
Got too late.
We tried. We did try.
We tried to resuscitate, and it was too late. Yeah. Up next, Impact Wrestling Watch Along. never happened. No, but it is true. Like, look, guys, I always try to review the pay-per-views and specials for that reason. I reviewed Empower, all of this stuff, because we probably should just try to shine the light a bit further rather than repeating ourselves every damn week on how mad we are about Raw.
And this is why we pretty much stopped talking about Raw. And this is a big reason why I wanted to not do the SmackDown review show anymore, because I can only say match was fine, saw it last week, doesn't mean anything. Roman stuff was good. You can only say that so many weeks in a row. Like, you just...
Yeah, just, you know, no, it's just boring. It's,
yeah.
You know, I think in future, I think half of this show, we've hit the right tone of what we should do in future, which is try our best to look forward for the men and women that are, you know, being in these cuts, because we could be really kind of somber about it. But to be honest, the key is that we anticipate and look forward to whatever they do next. And, you know, whether you're a fan or not, you give them a fair shot when they turn up somewhere. And that's what I'm going to do. Try and cover the more promotions as we move forward here with our own channel and all that good stuff. It's Monday. I'm going to review that Impact special alongside Bob's review of the Survivor Series. So, yeah, and that's all for tonight, Jeremy Lambert.
I will watch Survivor Series. I will watch Impact Turning Point, and I will give my perspective on both of those shows on Monday. I got to watch WWE. Like, see, that is the thing. Is like, I got to – tomorrow, WWE has a big media day where they're going to parade everybody out there, and, you know, the media goes through their line and they ask their two questions, and you have 5 minutes with a superstar, and I'm going to have to write a lot of articles about, oh, yes, there should be stakes at Survivor Series. Like, the talent knows this sucks. They just show up, man. Show up, get their money.
Can you play the Sour Boy clip so everyone can be happy before we go off the air?
Do that. Should I plug stuff? Only plug stuff. Bulls still suck. Yes, I was gonna say, everyone sign up to Fightful Select. Listen to Steven Jensen's Weekender podcast. He does a great job of reviewing the independent stuff and all the stuff on the peripheral that maybe fans are not seeing. So you know, support Steven Jensen. He does great work. It's great work.
He's a piece of shit.
He did. He was very mean to me in Mario Kart yesterday.
He's spiteful, man. He lashes out sometimes, you know.
Yeah. So do that tomorrow. Actually, in like 30 minutes, I'm going to be on Twitch playing video games with Joel Pearl. Tomorrow, I'm going to be on Twitch playing video games. I think with Mike Straw.
Hell no.
What do you mean, hell no?
We said, if you want to be on Twitch? I was like, no. I need to go.
I'm going to be on
Twitch. I know Twitch. You are.
Yeah.
Mike Straw?
Yeah, Mike Straw.
He's a scoopster.
He is. He's a video game scoopster. The next scoop is going to be games delayed because they don't have enough people to fill out the roster.
God, guys, can you imagine what we're going to produce when we take this episode of The Distraction tomorrow night? Unprecedented.
It's going to be something. Yes, Distraction next week will be live taped at 3 p.m. Eastern as usual. Go to twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. Appreciate y'all supporting us over here. And we will see y'all later. Oh, we'll see y'all. See y'all later on.
Let's go.
We got a real big problem. Somebody keeps fucking me here.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.